This is my second time preaching today, so if I start getting a little hoarse halfway through, I apologize, but it's important that we do what we're asked. And my pastor said, I want you to preach on Sunday morning. And I said, I got to preach on Sunday afternoon. He said, I want you to preach on Sunday morning. So guess what? I preached on Sunday morning. Now I'm going to preach on Sunday afternoon. And I sent out a message this morning saying what I was going to preach. If you're not on that text list, all you need to do is get my wife your cell phone number, and she will put you on that list, and we will keep you up to date with what's going on, what's being preached, the exciting things that are happening. All you have to do is get her that number. If you can do that, you will be in the loop, guaranteed, guaranteed. I do want to reiterate, next week, I hope you will bring a friend. Bring somebody with you next week to church. It's a perfect week to bring somebody. And I know Brother Rodney's probably chomping at the bit. I'm sure his mom and dad will probably come. And that'll be a good chance for us to make another contact with them. And hopefully Gracie and Abby will make it up for next week. And I'm sure it'll be a full house next week. It seems it goes that way. We have Celebration Sunday. We have our smallest crowds from Winnemac the last three times. And then the next week, we'll have 18 or 19 people here. I think the Winnemac people just don't want you to see them all. I think the Winnemac people likes it being their church. Is that the case? But it's exciting. It's kind of an adventure because you, as a pastor of that church, you're watching and you're thinking, you know, we'll have a lot of extra people. We'll have a full house. And then we get back to our just normal people and everybody shows up. It's like they want to be a part of the church. And I think there is a reason behind that. Because this is God's church, and you are a part of God's church. And when you feel like you're a part of God's church, where you're able to do something, where you're making a value to it, even just Tuesday night. Our Bible study, normally it's me and Brother Tracy, I like studying with him because he seems like he knows where I'm going before I get there. And I ask a question, he already knows the answer. And then Brother Ted comes over, and he's throwing hard questions at me. And then Rodney shows up this week. There was four of us in Bible study this week. We had a good time breaking the bread of life, and that's fun. That's a good thing, and that's exciting. I can't wait for the day that we got women's prayer meeting going on here during the day and men's group where we can go out and have some dinner all together and youth meetings where we're having young people doing stuff on other nights and we're just casting a little vision. Those things are coming, and I'm excited about those things. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. Starting at verse number 3, I'm going to be preaching on the dangers of becoming too comfortable. The dangers of becoming too comfortable. Chapter number 4 of the book of 1 Samuel, we are going to start reading at verse number 3. It says, "And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again." Now, when you stop right here, you would think, wow, they're fixing to win this battle, right? Let's read on. "And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, What meaneth the noise of the great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp." Now, look at this. Even the enemy is getting worried. Oh, no. The Spirit of God is now with them. We are in trouble now. And verse 7, "And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hands of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues and in the wilderness." Then they said, "Be strong and quit yourself." They said, "But if we're going to be defeated," basically in verse 9 and 10, they said, "just fight with everything you have. Maybe we'll win this one, but we really don't expect to." Verse 10 says, "And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent. There was a very great slaughter for their fell of Israel. 30,000 footmen. 30,000 men died that day. That's a bloody battle, is it not? But I want you to look at a very key part of this scripture. They said, go get the ark. It looks like we're going to be defeated. So run and get God and bring him into the situation. Peradventure, maybe we could still win. I wonder if we could pray just for a few moments that God would touch in this service today and check in our spirits the fact of becoming too comfortable with God. Dear Lord, we love you. And we thank you for everything you're doing. But God, we're asking you to meet in our midst today. We ask that your glory would step into this sanctuary. Begin to change us. Begin to mend us. Begin to make us what you want us to be, God. But I pray that you would check in our spirits the very thought of becoming too comfortable. That we don't reverence the things of you the way we ought to. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Comfortable. Everybody comfortable today? I got the air hopefully pretty close to where you like it. You got a cushioned seat. How many's glad we're not sitting on folding chairs with them hard bottoms? That's one of the first things we do with Bible study is we swap them folding chairs out for soft ones so we don't got to sit in them hard chairs. But we are comfortable. The comfortable is something that society likes today. I've often said in the line of work that I'm in, I work on heating and air conditioning. I've often said, you know what? There's a good chance I'll never be without a job. You say, why is that? Because as a society today, we are so spoiled that once you've had air conditioning, most people are not going to go without it anymore. My wife has given me the eye that I better not go there. I'm an air conditioner guy, and my air conditioner went out about a week ago. You know what they say? The plumber's house has leaks. And the air conditioning guy's house doesn't have any air conditioning. And the electrician's got an electrical box that's hanging open. You know why? Because we go to work all day. We won't come home and work on our own stuff. We've been working on this stuff all day. But the reality is very simple. We are a very spoiled people. If we have a headache, Brother Dustin can attest to this, I'll take an ibuprofen. I'm going to go lay down for a while and my headache will go away. If I got the sniffles, I'll take some NyQuil. I'll sleep good till morning. It'll be gone. If I'm too hot in the car, I'll turn the air on and I will cool myself down. If I'm cold, I'll turn the heat on. I'll warm myself up. If I decide on the ride to church that I want a cheeseburger, I will stop at McDonald's and they are fast in the drive-thru and I can get me a single, a double, or now a triple cheeseburger because I can. Because life is comfortable. Life is good. It's very simple. We as people are spoiled rotten, are we not? We really don't want for anything. If we're out of food, we literally, I work in South Bend a lot, there is more food banks than you can shake a stick at in the city of South Bend. They literally advertise to give the amount of food away because they can't give it all away. They have so much food in the storehouse that they can't give it away. We are a spoiled generation. We live in a life of comforts. We live in a life of anything we want. There is probably none of us that sit in the house by candlelight unless you didn't pay your electric bill. If it's too dark in the room, we will turn another light on. We'll bring in a lamp. And you know what? If the air's not just right, what will we do? We'll turn the fan on to move a little air across our back. Just make sure everything is good. My brother in his living room has one of the biggest, softest, most comfy chairs. It's one of those chairs that you sit down in and you just kind of lay back and life is good. Call that my brother's big comfy chair there. He's got one of those good chairs. But we are spoiled. We have anything we want in all reality. There is really nothing anybody in here that really desires other than it's just a, it's not really a need, it's a want. But needs, we really have no needs. But there's a danger in being so comfortable at times. Because being too comfortable sometimes can cause me to sit in the chair a little too long because I'm comfortable. And I may decide to read the book a little bit too much because I'm too comfortable. I went out into my woods just for the first time this week. Deer season came in. I don't know if we have any deer hunters in here tonight, but we got a couple back here. But me and my boy and my girl had double booked, and I was supposed to be at a home mission work thing down in Indianapolis. I said, I'm not coming. Why are you not coming? Because it's the opening day of deer season for my children, and we're going to sit in a deer stand. I can always have another time to come to a seminar, but I won't always have these children to go sit in a deer stand with. So we went and sat in the deer stand yesterday. But earlier this week, I decided I better go back and check the woods because someone had said a tree had fallen in the woods. And I had not taken the time because summer had been so busy. And the days that I'd come in from work, I was really tired. And you know where I would go? My feet hurt. My back hurt, and the last thing I want to do is go pick up a chainsaw and cut up a tree. So I walked into the woods, and lo and behold, our woods was absolutely destroyed. Trees were down everywhere. There could not have been a deer walked through our woods in a straight path. There was so many trees down. It looked like spaghetti. And I realized deer season is Saturday. And look what a mess I have. Had I not been so comfortable, and had I came out here a little sooner, and had I got out the chainsaw a little earlier, we might have saw more deer yesterday. But the reality is, we can get that way even in church. It's very easy for us to just take the things lightly, but the things of God, that we no longer take them as serious as we should take them. It's very easy that we set aside that this is just another church service. I'll go in and I'll see the pretty mums that Sister Denise takes care of and makes look so good. And I'll go in there and see the screen that Brother Ted puts on the wall and it looks so good, except for when our bulb decides this wants to finally go out and it's on its days are numbered. I think we've decided the bulb is going almost gone. But we go in and see all of the things, and we'll listen to Sister Christiana as she plays the keyboard, and it's just another Sunday. We'll go in and Christian will be playing those drums and doing his thing, and I'll see the folks, and it's just another Sunday. We come in, and Brother Smith will have the fans going, and the air conditioner will be running, and everything will be right. And we can come into church, and we are what? We're comfortable. Life is good. You know what? I can sit in the church and for a little while I don't have to think about my problems and I don't have to think about the issues going in my life. And just for a little while I can be comfortable. But in reality, we aren't built for comfort. We like to be comfortable. But the reality is we need to constantly be on guard. We constantly need to protect ourselves. As I was reading the hunting regulations this year, they gave a statistic that gave the number of people that became too comfortable in a deer stand. Whether they fell asleep, whether they had a heart attack, whether they slipped off the deck, whatever happened, there was about 180 or 190 people last year that went from about 10 feet in the air and took whatever tree branches on the way to the ground that they hit as they fell out of the tree. Why? Because it was comfortable there. And wearing a harness that attaches me to the tree is way too uncomfortable. So I will just be comfortable in the tree and I won't mess with the harness. And you know what? But there's 180 people last year that decided, you know what, I wish I'd have wore a harness. I would hurt less. It would cost less. And some of them paid with their lives. We don't think about those things. I'll never forget the day I was working inside. My wife don't like to think about this day because there's a real reality that had everything fallen just right, I would not be pastoring here today. In fact, that boy wouldn't have a daddy, my girl wouldn't have a daddy, and she wouldn't have a husband because I on the job became too comfortable. As I was working on an air conditioner and everything was right and nobody else could fix this unit, and so the owner called me and said, I need you to go work on that unit, and I need you to figure out why that thing is shutting off. But the problem is, when it shuts off, they kill the main power and turn it back on. It resets everything, and we can't figure out why it's shutting up. I need you to go figure out what's wrong. That's code words for, you're going to have to work on it live. You're going to have to work on it hot. Understanding this unit was over 400 volts, 430 to be exact. I had done it many times. I knew what it was like to put my hand in a control cabinet without a pair of gloves. I knew what it was like. I knew where I could put my meter, where I couldn't put my meter. I'd done this for 15 years now. Now it's 17, but then it was like 15 years I'd done this. I knew what I could and couldn't do. But while I was there on the phone with tech support, with it on a speakerphone, as I reached my hand up over top of a transformer to tug a wire that they wanted to know where that wire was landed at. And I'm working that wire across as us service guys do and keeping an eye on it. I got a metal unit here. And I have the phone up here and I have my hand up here. And my other hand going across here. And unbeknownst to me, there was a post on the transformer that was exposed, that wasn't insulated. And it was sticking out, and when my hand hit it, the electricity went through my hand, and I still have a scar there, through my hand and out the top side, and knocked me backwards about 10 feet to the ground. Had that electricity and my hand not been touching the top of that unit to ground out, the electricity would have went right through my heart and I would have been a direct short with 430 volts. I wouldn't be standing here today because I was too comfortable. I have another friend, and I'm just going to tell you a couple more of these. I have another friend that was a very close friend of mine. Same name as mine. Last name. Went to a Pentecostal church. Working underneath the floor of a night's inn in Roseland, Indiana. Him and I had went to school together, talked about going into business together. And as he was working under the floor of a night's inn, there was a water leak. He was a plumber, I was the HVAC guy. There was a water leak under the floor. So he notified them that he was there. He was going to go onto the floor. He would fix the leak. Everything would be good. He would leave just like he'd done it a million times. But it was dark under the floor, so he began to string his cord across underneath that crawl space. And he began to crawl under there under his belly. And as he began to pull that pipe apart that was leaking, it started leaking profusely bad. And laying behind him was an extension cord with a light on it. But because he'd done this so many times, he thought, I don't need a ground fault that will shut it off the minute it comes to any kind of contact of water. They found him some 4 hours later, dead, because he'd become too comfortable. You say, why are you telling us all this? What's the point in this? The point I'm telling you all of that is very simply this. We can come to church. We can be around God. We can be exposed to God. We can feel God. We can experience God. We can feel the presence of God flowing through us. We can watch others feel the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost as the Spirit of God moves through them. We can watch others as they dance in the presence of God. We can feel all of those things, and we can be exposed to all things and all around all of those things. But little by little, it's very easy for us not to take them near as serious as we should take them. I don't take it for a one moment the fact that Brother Tracy is sitting there today, because I know that was the divine power and the hand of God, and only the hand of God. But even for us as individuals and as a church, we take it as just another thing. No, that's a miracle given by the hand of God. It's not a light matter. It's not just another occasion. The fact that God would move upon a man to preach the word of God and prick your very spirit and your very life to breathe things into your life of exactly where you're living, that's not just something that happens. That's the very presence and the Spirit of God moving through a man to minister to your life in a very direct way. It's not just chance. As I came from the platform this morning, one of the gentlemen in the church opened up his notebook and he said, "I want you to read this." As I began to read it, it was the very words that I preached this morning. He said, "I know you was preaching from a manual. I understand that." He said, "But I want you to understand the words you said were the very words I was struggling with. Was the very thing that I questioned God on. And God spoke to me through your message." That, my friend, that was not an accident. That was divine hand of God ministering through a man of God into the heart of a man that needed a word of inspiration that day. But we take those things so lightly. It's just another message that's being promulgated. It's just another pick-me-up that the pastor wants to put into us today to give us enough strength to make it through another week. No, that's not what it is at all. That's the power of God reaching in to change your world and to supply your needs. The three things that were found in the Ark of the Covenant were the provisions of God, the power of God, and the direction of God. Those three things were housed in the Ark of the Covenant. But on top of the Ark of the Covenant was found the very mercy seat, as it was represented there. But it was just another thing that they left sit in the temple. Eli's children had become so corrupt, so carnal, that they somehow slipped completely away from the things of God, that they didn't take it seriously anymore. And it became something that they profited from, they got gain from in the Old Testament tabernacle. Woe unto us if the church is just another place to sell a product. Woe unto us if the church is just a place to build a reputation. If the church is just a place that I find my friends and I get my pick-me-up of friends there, that's not what the church is for. The church is there so that a man or a woman can find God and see their life changed and their sins removed and be led under the Spirit of God. We find these two individuals against the wishes of their dad, but their dad was never really willing to step up and say, "You know what, that's not right, you shouldn't go there, you shouldn't do that." But because Eli was not willing to step up and man up and say, "You know what? I don't care if you are the children of the high priest. You won't do this in the temple." No, he let it go on and let it go on and let it go on and let it go on until we find the very battle that we are talking about here in the book of 1 Samuel. And rather than them keeping the spirit and the power of God where it needed to be, they had grown way too comfortable with it. And they thought, "These are just the Philistines. We'll go into battle. We'll defeat them again." Even the Philistines believed that was going to happen. Because the minute the Philistines sensed that the Ark of the Covenant was there, they said, "Oh no, is this the one? This is the one that destroyed the Egyptians. This is the one that parted the Red Sea. There ain't no way we can win this battle. But we're in it anyway. We may as well fight on." The reality was very simple. Judgment of God was beginning to fall upon a house that had grown way too comfortable. I want you to notice the number of lives that were destroyed because someone became too comfortable. 30,000 men died because someone wanted to be comfortable. I ask you today, what lives are at stake because you come too comfortable? What school is affected because you become too comfortable? What members of your family are at risk of losing out with God because you become too comfortable? Being too comfortable presents three major issues. Comfort breeds, you could say it like this, bad children. Comfort breeds things that shouldn't be there. The first one of those is very simply comfort. When you are in comfort and you're dwelling in comfort, you're more worried about position than you are power. When you're too comfortable and life is good, you're more concerned about how is this going to affect me than how is it going to affect him. Where is this going to wash out and place me in the grand scheme of things? Pardon me for being so blunt, but it really doesn't matter about you. What matters about us is him. How does this affect the kingdom of God? That's the matter that really matters. How is it going to affect the kingdom of God 5, 10, 15 years from now? Is it going to be positively or is it going to be negatively? God did not call us to position for us to elevate ourselves. The Bible said he should be first, would be what? Last. We become position-minded instead of power-minded when we become comfortable. When we become comfortable, judgmentalism has a tendency to slip in. We get comfortable, we start looking. Everywhere else. And our perspective is no longer vertical. It becomes horizontal. And you know what you see? Oh, Brother Rodney, he wore a green tie today. I didn't like that tie. And Sister So-and-so, she brought that kid, and he didn't do nothing but scream the whole service. I didn't get nothing out of that. Why? We're too comfortable. But think about this. This is exactly what happens. Because our mind is not up on the power and the purpose that we are involved in, we are so worried about everybody else now because we've become bored in the kingdom of God. Now think about it. We get so bored that we don't have enough to worry about with God. My life's become so routine and perfect, now I've got time to critique everybody else. There's a danger in that. Because it doesn't matter what everybody else does. The fact is, I've got to make it to heaven. My life is the one that matters. I need to strengthen my brother, not talk about my brother. I need to pray for my brother, not discuss my brother or sister. But the reality is, comfortability, that's a tough one to say, breeds judgmentalism of everyone else. The third thing it breeds, and that's beyond judgmentalism, that is carnalism. You say, what is carnalism? That's when stuff, just junk, just stuff, starts to clutter my mind. What happens when you sit down in that chair in the evening time? And you start to ponder the issues of the day. Unless you're praying, quiet boredom time is usually not a good thing. It's usually a very bad thing. Because if you go home and your mind is not occupied with God things, you're going to sit there and you think, you know what? I believe that rotten scoundrel was trying to take my job. I believe he was saying something to the boss about me. But I walked out of there. You wait till I see him tomorrow. Honey, can you believe what he did to me today? I ought to go in there and quit tomorrow. I'd show them. That's our human nature, isn't it? But if we didn't have that comfortability, and we were worried about the kingdom of God, and we were worried about the souls of men, and we worried about the souls of everyone else, you know what? We wouldn't have time to worry about our little issues and our little problems. It would be much bigger than us, because we would be kingdom-minded. We would be more about, how does this affect God and not me? How is this? God must have me in this situation because he must be trying to grow me. You know what? If he's going to step on my toes, then I must need to be better at something. If there's something is going to be changed in my church situation, then God must need me to grow to another area that I might minister to the fullest capabilities that God has needs me to do. It's very dangerous for us as individuals to start to take the things of God lightly. Because once you start becoming position-minded and judgment-minded and carnally-minded, you're setting yourself up for full-bore rebellion. You say, oh, I would never do that. I wouldn't go in there and tell that boss that he needs to go pound sand. I wouldn't do that, would I? I wouldn't tell him that I ain't going to do that job no more. He can find somebody else. I wouldn't do that. You know what? I wouldn't go in there and tell that preacher what I think. I'd never do that. You let yourself get caught up in positionness, judgmentalism, and carnality, and you know what? You'll do things you never dreamed you would do. You'll say things you would never dream you would say. Why? Because it's not you that are doing them. You have given yourself over to something that is not you. You've let the flesh rule, and now Satan rules the day in your body. And you know what? When you give the flesh control, it's corrupt. It's dirty. It's rotten. And it doesn't care if you live or die. All it wants is please me. That's the flesh. That's my flesh. And I contend that's probably your flesh. I want comfort. I want Cadillac. I want what I want. And give it to me now. That's our flesh. So when you start giving yourself over to comfort, you may as well just put... any of you have ever been in the hospital, you know what this is like. You may as well just put a little IV right into the arm of the flesh and say, eat all you want, fulfill yourself all you want. Why? Because we're not thinking clearly. We've become way too comfortable. Saul found himself in this state. Saul got too comfortable with the things of God. He was a man that was chosen of God, directed of God, and had the blessing of God upon his life. Even to the point that when he was out of the graces of God, God wouldn't even let someone destroy him and kill him because he was God's anointed. But he took that anointing so lightly, and he began to transgress against God. And finally, it became more than a thought. It became more than just something he wanted to do. It became outright rebellion against the man of God. He sent him into battle and he came back and he said, Saul, did I not tell you to destroy everything? Well, the people wanted me to bring some stuff back. So now, that mentality of comfortableness now starts to blame everybody else. It wasn't me, it was them. I just folded under pressure. No, that's not the case at all. You disobeyed the very words of the prophet in your life. And the prophet said, destroy them all, because you don't understand. One day that thing's going to come back and it's going to eat your lunch and you ain't going to see it coming. I'm telling you to destroy every single thing that's connected with the Amalekites. But no. Samuel said, what is the bleating of the sheep I hear? What is that? Oh, we just brought the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen. And we brought Agag, their king. We didn't want to kill him. He's very valuable to us. He could give us some information. He's got connections. And the more Saul began to open his mouth, the madder the man of God got. But it wasn't just the words of the prophet. It was the Spirit of God represented in that prophet. And the Spirit of God in that prophet said, no, I want you to instruct Saul of one thing. Because of his rebellion and because of his disobedience, the kingdom will be stripped from his hands. And not only that, I repent that I ever made you king over my people. And that's some strong words from God. That God's repenting that he ever made him king over his people. I want you to notice something that had to happen then. The Bible said the man of God. Now picture this. The man of God is not supposed to fight the battles, is he? He's not intended. He's there for the guidance. He's there for direction. He's there for the voice of God. But the Bible said, Samuel said, bring me Agag. Bring him to me. Now you can imagine Agag. He escaped the battle, right? He's doing good. He says, man, they brought me back. I'm going to be all right now. Everybody else is dead. I'm good. Agag looks at Samuel. He said, surely the veil of death must be passed by now. Samuel said, no, you don't understand. Judgment said you were going to die. But I've got to imagine Samuel in his mind said, the problem is that king didn't have the guts to do it. He said, and just as many have become childless, your mother will be childless today. And the Bible said the man of God pulled out a sword and he hewed Agag to pieces. Did you know this stuff was in the Bible? He cut him into pieces and destroyed every square inch of him. But I want us to notice something. When you decide there are things in your life that you've become comfortable with and it really doesn't matter and it really doesn't make that big of a difference in your life, that the man of God may not be that smart after all, and I know a little bit more than the man of God in my life, you better be careful. Because there's going to come a day that there's going to be something that's way bigger than you that you don't see the end of. And you're going to cause the man of God to have to take on the form that he should have never had to take on. And begin to destroy things out of your life that you should have destroyed long before. And it's not a pretty picture when the man of God has to hew those things from a life that should have been already destroyed. And gone. It all starts with becoming too what? Too comfortable. It's just routine anymore. I've rode this bike a million times. Brother Miller, I've drove this road 1,000 times. I could do this with my eyes closed. Please don't. But the reality is, I know what I'm doing. But you may not see what's up ahead. When the man of God is speaking things into your life, you better heed those warnings. Because you may just be getting too comfortable. You say, why are you so heavy today, Pastor? Because the Bible says if you become lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. I would that you were hot or that you were cold, but don't get comfortable. Don't get in the place where the spirit of the enemy starts to rile up in your mind and in your spirit. I want us to pay close attention to one thing. God did not intend for us to play games with His Spirit. The same representation that the tabernacle had in the Old Testament, that the Ark of God was representing the Spirit of God. It was to give us our protection, our provision, and our direction. That is everything we need to sustain ourselves. Isn't it ironic that the Bible says when He gives you His Spirit, He gives you the power. He would supply all your needs. And He would be a light unto your feet. The Old Testament representation of the Ark of God gave you all the things that you needed to accomplish what the children of Israel needed. And when you get the Spirit of God in your life, He gives you everything you need to survive. But the problem is we take that Spirit so lightly. And we trust in the protection, but we don't want the direction. We want to have Aaron's rod that says, you know what, the Spirit of God will take care of this. But we don't want to read the law. We want God to provide all our needs. We like the manna coming from heaven. But we don't want anything that says love your enemy and your brother. Pray for them that despitefully use you. We don't want that side of it, do we? I contend that it's a whole package. You can't take part of the presence of God and not all of the presence of God. You can't have a little bit of God. There's a danger when you start playing with God and His mercy. There's a danger when you become too comfortable. I'm coming to a close as they're coming to the music. Give me just a few more minutes, though. Even just recently, we find our troops going back into a country called Iraq. Brother Rodney knows the region probably pretty well. They're going back into Iraq for one reason. It's to liberate a country that we already liberated once. But the problem was we as a nation and as the leaders of our nation wanted to be comfortable, wanted to have the polling numbers that says we removed our guys from Iraq rather than putting something in place that would prevent that country from falling back into the hands of those that once possessed it. We wanted everything to look good on paper without taking the precautions to protect. And with that in mind, I challenge us today. How long has it been since you really thought about how lost you were before God found you? I wonder how long it's been since you really thought about how far from God you really were and what it's like to really be lost. What it's like to get up every morning and have the addictions and the junk controlling your world. Or if we lived in freedom so long, we forgot what it was like to live in bondage. I challenge us today not to get too comfortable, that we forget those things that God saved us from as we're all standing. On the wall of one of my customers happens to be an orthopedics building. I was working in an office, and I'm looking on the wall, and I see this picture of an arm. But it's just bone. You can tell it's an x-ray. And the arm is going down, and then the bone is protruding out of the skin, sticking at a complete wrong angle. And it said, this is what happens when you don't wear your gear, next to the sign. And I looked at the next one, and it was a picture of a foot that had two toes. And that was all. Part of the foot was completely gone. And it said beside it, now these are real x-rays of real people. And it said, this is what happens when you put your hand underneath or foot underneath of a lawnmower. Now I realize those are literal illustrations. But I wonder how many of those can we think of spiritually. This is what happens when you hang out with the wrong people. If you could see the picture of this is what happens when you smoke your first cigarette. If you could see the bound up addicted state of someone that could not remove themselves from the drug addictions, that they their body literally would go into convulsions when someone said, would you like to try pot for the first time? We don't see that side of the picture. But it's easy for us to get too comfortable. We start playing with things we shouldn't be playing with, doing things we shouldn't be doing. And the reality is very simple. There's a danger in being too comfortable. But I contend the worst danger of all is not the addiction. Is it bad? Yes. It's not the out of marriage pregnancy to raise a child by yourself. Is it bad? Yes. That's not the worst. Is it the broken marriage? Where the kids are tossed weekend to weekend. Bad, yes, but not the worst. Is it the fornication? Bad, but not the worst. I contend the worst is when you finally realize you have no power. When you finally realize what used to work don't work anymore. When I used to control myself, I can't control myself anymore. Why? You were trying to live under provision. Didn't want to listen to the direction. And now you've lost the power. And when you lose the power, you no longer have the ark. And the devastation that will follow is very destructive. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed.